Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Torian, on Tuesday, a number of things Jim and I are going to touch on this morning that Jim brought up and that I touch on, and I think it's they're fairly important topics. Kathy Hochul, number one, the appointed governor of New York, is not doing particularly well in terms of the actual election. You want to have a comment on that, Jimmy?
Yeah, sure. So Kathy Hochul, again, she was appointed. Took over for Andrew Cuomo when Andrew Cuomo was pushed out of the governor's race, really by progressive activists in New York.
Yeah,
and that was based on not on the fact that, like, I think between 9,000 and 15,000 elderly died in retirement homes because they were forced back into homes in the COVID situation. I mean, tantamounts to murder. It wasn't because of that. It was because of accusations of him being basically too masculine and basically social justice warriors and women saying that he was abusive.
Yeah.
He's been fighting somewhat, somewhat successfully in a sense to recoup some of his credibility. It's going to be hard for him to do.
Yeah.
Bottom line is a very blue New York is actually having big questions about who's going to be governor, and it looks like Lee Zeldin has jumped ahead in some polls and may upset New York, deep blue New York.
I have one question for you. I know quite a bit about retirement homes right now because I'm contemplating moving into a totally non-assisted facility, a very independent facility that's really pretty nice. I'm thinking about moving in there. And the question I have is, how can you force somebody back into a retirement home?
Well, so remember what happened with these emergency orders, the executive orders in many of the states and, you know, most of the states in the United States, as well as the federal government, began pushing these health policies in order to protect people against what was considered at the time to be this incredibly dangerous COVID pandemic that would wipe out a large percentage of the population, or at least, you know, 2 to 3% of the population. It turns out that that was not true, not accurate. And it turns out that people knew that prior. And it turns out with the healthcare system that, in fact, they were forcing people back into retirement homes in New York, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New Jersey.
Yeah, but Jimmy, you're missing my question. How do you force somebody back into?
Oh, that's what I'm saying, the executive orders. They just forced them back in because it was what they considered a health issue, you know, that they would be protective of society. It was a total mistake. It was total fraud.
Yeah.
And what it did is it killed a bunch of elderly people that need not die. But not only that, but the policies that they put in place, these same people were listening to the healthcare agencies that were providing information from Anthony Fauci and CDC on recommendations for remdesivir and putting people on ventilators, which actually created more death than actually helped people, it appears, based on most of the studies that are now beginning to come out. But again, some of these people actually knew this information. So how do you do it? You force them back and you put them in remember, everybody was isolated at the time. If you came down with COVID, you were basically persona non grata from society. You were picked up and moved somewhere else. And of course, these retirement homes and retirement communities and healthcare facilities where the elderly were basically just death traps.
Yeah, I didn't realize that an executive order from a governor of a state could force somebody into a retirement home. I did not realize that.
Well, they can force you into quarantine, which they did. And if they gone far enough, they could put you into an internment camp based on emergency order. Again, if the population allows it, and a lot of these emergency declarations allowed the government to take action based on information they thought was initially maybe quite frightening, but as they got more information, they continued to hide what they'd done.
Yeah.
And that's the case in New York. They continue to hide what happened there.
Yeah, my point is I didn't realize the government could force you to do something like that. That's an interesting interesting point. Let's go on to the next topic, which is the tax records of Donald Trump, which apparently will not be opened at this moment in time.
Right. So the Trump's team did a legal request to hold a lower court ruling that he had to turn over his tax records to the January 6th committee. And basically, the Supreme Court will review this case. It will review the case beyond the November 8th election. So the likelihood that the standing committee will actually have any success in this action over getting Trump's records, will they're just not going to be successful on it. Because, again, we know that the two key Republicans, rhinos on the committee, are not even, you know, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, they're not even going to be in office pretty soon. So it basically it puts off Trump turning his tax records over. I have no idea what his tax records look like, but I can tell you this. If there would have been something over the last 5 years that would have been criminal in their abuse of the tax code, the IRS and the deep state would have done something with it.
Yeah.
So it looks to me like this was a political move in order to try to taint him with whatever information they possibly could. And most of it's just would be just, hype. And that, we saw that over and over again. We saw it with Rachel Maddow when she got an actual, formed and started claiming different, making accusations over it. And then, of course, it turns out that she was actually, it showed that he was nowhere near in any criminal activities, and it was nowhere near what she had hoped it would be.
Yeah.
So I think but it does get attention, and that's what they were attempting to do. They were trying to divert.
Okay.
And
so
they really
didn't much care if they got the tax records or not. Is that correct?
Well, I think they wanted the tax records, and with those tax records, they would have leaked and then created controversy and then, would make accusations, but those accusations would have turned out to be false, which we've seen this over and over and over again with the media, with the Russia collusion issues, with almost everything that the major issues of the day against Trump turned out to be, false narratives. The media and the Democrats actually coordinated with globalist, entities in order to undermine the presidency.
Yeah.
So I think it's just putting it off for a period of time. But I think, again, we've got, things like, Lee Zeldin actually gaining ground, if not passing and polling Kathy Hochul. And that could be very much like a Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, Glenn Youngkin situation where everybody expected Youngkin to lose. The Democrats certainly were shocked at Terry McAuliffe losing, and he lost by a significant amount overall, with the exception of two counties, Loudoun and Fairfax. I'm sorry, I forget the other one. But
I want to make a prediction about the John Fetterman-Oz race. I think Fetterman's going to win it, and I think the reason he's going to do it is I think that he's basically got the heart, for lack of better terms, of people. I'm not saying that.
I mean, you make that prediction, you may be right, but it's not because of, if it happens, in my view, it won't be because Fetterman was successful in campaigning. It will be because the way the system in Pennsylvania works, where they absolutely ignore a Supreme Court ruling that they cannot count votes with outdates on them. And the actual Secretary of State there said, oh, ignore the Supreme Court ruling, then you'll see corruption. Tom Wolf, the governor there, you're going to see corruption if Fetterman wins. It's not because he's a good candidate. It's not because, in my view, it's not because he's got the heart of the
Well, that's got nothing to do with what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think he's going to win it. And that is really no reflection on his qualifications or what have you. I just think that the way politics go in the United States, I think that probably he will, he'll get there.
He's going to be on The View, ABC's The View, apparently. I think that's a huge mistake. It will seal his loss. I think it's going to be such a big win in Pennsylvania and around the country that these candidates, again, I've said it before, if John Fetterman wins this election for Senate, the United States is lost. And I don't, he doesn't he doesn't inspire any confidence in anybody. He's not, in my view, he's not making anybody feel good about themselves. He talks in very broken sentences and cannot explain his ideologies. And he's very much progressive that has allowed the violence to continue in this state. So I think that's a big problem for him.
Yeah.
And I think the undercount of conservatives, or not just conservatives, but of independents that are frustrated with what's happening in America right now,
yeah,
are going to push him away, as in many other cases. And, you know, I think we ought to talk about the Blake Masters race.
Sure, let's talk about that. Then the Arizona race.
Exactly. Blake Masters.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the, I forgot the name of the fellow who it looks like is going to push Masters over the top because of his action.
Yeah, it's Mark Victor.
Yeah.
He's a libertarian.
Right.
He was carrying about 6% of the overall vote, according to most polls, and that he just withdrew from the race and endorsed Blake Masters.
Yeah.
And Blake Masters and Mark Kelly, I'm sorry, the former astronaut and Gabby Giffords' husband, the congresswoman who was shot, quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
By a wacko leftist who was claimed to be a right-wing extremist.
Yeah.
This is looking bad for Kelly. His support for the Biden administration is probably going to hurt him. And, of course, Carrie Lake is carrying such big numbers there. It would be hard for me to believe that Blake Masters will not overtake Kelly with this boost from the Libertarian candidate, taking away that, I guess, third-party candidate that would have dropped a little bit for him, made it not as close. So, I think it's a good thing for, certainly he's an America First candidate, and he is definitely about checking election integrity. So that's going to be very powerful in Arizona if Blake Masters is successful there.
Yeah. You know, I got a question for you. This is just something I was thinking about this morning, and I was going over some of the comments. CFS basically stated that he feels that all of the information about Paul Pelosi, whether three people in the House, two people in the House, what have you, he feels it's all false. I'd like your comment on that.
Yeah, there's something very, very strange going on here. And, you know, I think it was interesting. Tucker Carlson did a little piece on it tonight. We've been watching it as it has evolved since the weekend.
Yeah.
So initial reporting, even by the police scanner calls.
Yeah.
Said there was another, basically indicated there was another person in the room.
Yeah.
They apparently have live feed to Nancy Pelosi's security cameras on the exterior of the house to the police.
Yeah.
So the cops responded in 2 minutes. They say they entered the door. Somebody opened the door for them, and then they saw Pelosi and this.
You mean Pelosi?
They saw Pelosi and DePardieu. There, DePepe, I guess, you know, struggling. And that's when DePepe actually hit Pelosi with the hammer.
Yeah.
So they're not releasing tapes. The San Francisco PD is required to carry body cameras.
Yeah.
We know that there's, from other incidents, that there is video cameras at the residence. The window that appears to be broken in the back of the house has a glass that's broken on the outside, not on the inside.
Yeah.
So that would indicate, you know, somebody breaking it from the inside out. But,
yeah,
you know, you don't know. No one was there. But basically, I think this is turning out to be an incredibly important question of how much information is being manipulated and hidden. And the only way you solve it is through transparency. And they are doubling down on silencing it, which indicates to me that they are trying to get through this midterms before the facts come out. And here's my prediction, Al. I think that there was something more to this.
Yeah.
Certainly something very different than what we're hearing.
Yeah.
I think that once it comes out, and it inevitably will come out, because there's just too many people that are like wondering what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
I think once it comes out, it'll probably be after the November 8th election. And my prediction is that because of this and the loss, Nancy Pelosi will go ahead and probably resign her seat.
Hmm. That's an interesting prediction for concerning somebody who is obviously as ambitious as she is. That's a very interesting prediction. So you think that maybe this had really something to do with moral issues?
It looks to me like there's a lot more behind the scenes than we are being told. And this is the same thing that happened with the DUI. It took weeks to get information out on the DUI. And then we know that in the DUI, there was somebody else in the vehicle with Pelosi. They have not announced or said, and they've been very careful with releasing information on that. And hey, I don't blame that individual. Probably doesn't deserve to be out there, but on the other hand, they were involved with Paul Pelosi, who's married, and while he was driving drunk. So, who you hang with is who you end up being associated with.
Yeah.
And so you deserve what you get out of that, in my mind.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wonder why. I mean, given the fact that Nancy Pelosi is the one who has the office, I wonder why there's all of this hullabaloo about her husband. I mean, I quite frankly don't care. I mean, I'm not going to vote for Pelosi anyway, so it makes no difference. I frankly kind of don't care what Paul's all about.
Well, so here's why it matters. And this is why it's so important. I really don't care about Paul Pelosi's personal life either.
Yeah.
But what I do care about is the potential that this is being used by the media in order to protect, cover up potential problems in a city that has a tremendous problem with violence right now against a politician that has been pushing for agendas that undermine local security, policing, and, actually actively, supporting BLM and riots and Antifa type actions. So I think this is a very important issue, especially if the government and the Democratic Party are influencing in order to shape facts. If it were you and I, it probably wouldn't be headline news.
No,
but people could pull up the data if they were interested in it, because that's the way it works with transparency. But in this case, they're covering it up.
Yeah. Jimmy, I got a question for you about Fetterman. When is he going to be on The View?
I just heard he was going to be on The View last night. I don't know what day or time. That'd be interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, when you find out, please let me know.
Yeah, he's having a really tough time.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, his doctor won't take questions. He's fumbling through answers. He's having a very difficult time. He's not in the best shape right now. And that whole persona of being a guy of the people, I think, is really fading.
Yeah.
Especially, look, he's the guy that ran down a black guy in his city and held him at gunpoint when there was no reason to do it. That type of thing is going to hurt him in the urban community.
In the what community?
Urban community. The black urban community.
Yeah, okay.
So that's 3 or 4 points that he's going to lose just for that.
So Fetterman basically held a suspect at gunpoint until somebody could get there. Is that correct?
In his little town when he was mayor Braddock, or I can't remember the name of Braddock.
Well, it would be interesting to see how the public views that.
That's been out there on the campaign for a while. Again, it's one of those things that have undermined his credibility.
Yeah. Be interesting.
So
go ahead.
You've got Blake Masters that may take Mark Kelly's seat. That's a Democrat loss.
Yeah.
You've got Herschel Walker that is actually gaining and has surpassed Warnock and his in Georgia. We'll see how that turns out. You've got this potential of Oz. Now, that was a Republican seat, so that's a wash.
Yeah.
But you've got Mesteo Cortez out in Nevada and Laxalt beating her rather strongly. You've got really close Democrat race against the third most senior Democrat in the Senate with Tiffany Smiley and Patty Murray.
Yeah.
And then you've got Don Boldock in New Hampshire, again, targeting a Democratic seat. and he's getting closer, and he just got Trump's endorsement yesterday.
Yeah.
And of course, he's got Sununu, Governor Sununu's, very popular Governor Sununu's endorsement. And there were a lot of independents. That's kind of the nature of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And a lot of undecided. So you're going to see Sununu and Trump probably push Don Bolduc even closer. And yeah. You could potentially have five Democrat seats turn.
Yeah. Well, next Tuesday is going to be very, very interesting. I am definitely looking forward to that. Jimmy, we've been going about 21 minutes. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, okay. Well, tomorrow we got to get on the whole free speech thing and government involvement with the with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and how deeply embedded they are in shaping the narrative and silencing speech on those social media platforms.
Okay, we'll do it for sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.